Hold on one second.
Sure enough. Am I on still? He said, how am I going to live up to that? And I said, you've already done it. He has done it.
Well, praise the Lord. You know, you're some of the best people in the world. You know why? You could be home, sitting in front of the television set with a good hot cup of coffee, with a blanket, maybe the kitty cat on your lap, and enjoying yourself, but you come out to hear the Word of God. You know what? You're the smartest people in the world, too. I told the men's Bible class last night, you guys are the smartest people in the world. Because a million years from now, when we're in heaven, talking about Jesus, and the people that don't know Jesus, that are lost, they may have all the initials after their name. And they may come from the best families, but we come from the family of God, and we're family. And that's a family, folks, you want to be part of. Now, Lord, just bless us. We thank you, Lord, that people come out. Lord, bless them. And Lord, open our ears and open my mind that we can share the good things of the Lord, the things that we need. We need to feed upon the Word of God, and our spirits need to grow fat in the Word. And so, Lord, we thank you for it. You said you help us when you ask you to, so we believe you will. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Years ago, when I was a small child in Sunday school, I had a Sunday school teacher named Betty Higgins. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to look Betty up. She's going to be one of the first people I look up. Because she said, everybody knows how to pray, Chuck, but do you know how to pray publicly? And when you get new Christians that come into the body of Christ, and you ask them to pray, they'll freeze up. A lot of times they freeze up. Now, we who have been at it for years, you know, the Bible said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So it just comes natural to us. You learn it natural. We're children of God, and we're in the family of God, and we hear other people pray, and we learn how to pray. But a new Christian that has just come into the body of Christ needs to be able to stand up and pray publicly. You're going to get hit with it sooner or later. Now, if you look at the Word of God in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. Now, I'll give you a chance to turn to that. Linda says I always go too fast, so I'm going to go slow. Paul said something about praying. Now, he said, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching unto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. Now, that's fine for Paul. Okay? That's fine for Paul, apostle. But we need when we, am I okay? Yeah, okay. We need to realize of a formal prayer when you stand up, there's three parts of it. All right? Now, I know we're not like our Catholic friends and our Catholic friends and some of the other ones that pray a prayer over and over and over and over and over. And we're not criticizing. But if you need, as a young Christian, you need to stand and pray, there's three parts. Now, the first part of a prayer is we come into his courts with thanksgiving and praise. The second part is a participation or asking. The third part is thanksgiving for the answer. Now you have thanksgiving in the beginning, but you have the thanksgiving in the end that gets the job done. Do you all understand what I'm saying? Okay, now here is a good start for those who have trouble praying publicly. Okay, the first part of a prayer. All right? Father, we come into your courts in the name of Jesus, praising you for all your goodness and the many things you've done for us. Now, You come into his courts with prayer and thanksgiving. Very simple. Very simple. First part of a prayer, a public prayer. Now the second part of the prayer, well, we won't go into that. Hang on. We'll do this. When the second part is petition. Now, we generally you get petition for sickness, provision, and a lot of times for comfort when someone passes on, especially when somebody passes on and they're not a Christian. And that's tricky business when you're praying for them, because you don't want to tell the people, well, they probably went to hell. You don't know they went to hell, and I don't know where they went to hell. And there's been many of an old wretch that on the way out that yelled, "Jesus, save me!" And that's simple. That's simple. And out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And Jesus does not rejoice in the death of the wicked. He doesn't hate the wicked. When we were wicked, he didn't hate us. He saved us. And now we're better people. We're in the family of God. But those two people, dear God, you feel so sorry for them. I feel so sorry for people today that don't know Jesus. I really actually do. Now, if you're talking about sickness, and they ask you in the petition part of a prayer for sickness, here is something I want you to remember. You say, "Lord, we thank you for healing Sister Jones." You know, you said in your word, Matthew 8:17, himself bore our weakness, bore our sickness and carried our diseases. And Lord, we believe back at Calvary, by his stripes we were healed. If we were healed, we is healed. If we is healed, I am healed. I'm not going to be healed. By faith, I'm healed. Don't let anyone, when you pray with them, when you're praying especially for sickness, here's what I want you to ask them. Now, are you healed?
"Well, I certainly hope so, Brother Chuck. I hope I'm healed. You don't know about those things, you know."
And they'll talk unbelief. Now, what happens when you talk unbelief? You can kiss that prayer goodbye. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And without faith, you're in sin. So you've done a pretty good job of following yourself up and just ruining everything you've done. Get people to agree with you. Never let them speak defeat after you pray. Never let them do it. If you have to grab them and slap them one side of the head to get their attention, don't let them talk defeat. Because it just ruins the whole thing. That's not faith. Faith says, "I have it now. I have it now." Smith Wigglesworth, the famous, you ever heard that name, Smith Wigglesworth? He raised 21 people from the dead. 21. There was an Assembly of God minister that went with Brother Wigglesworth when Brother Wigglesworth was ministering. And three people left a written account of their experience with Brother Wigglesworth. So Wigglesworth, there was a blind man that come in to the service, and Wigglesworth prayed for him. He went in blind, and he come out blind. The man came to the service next night, the next night, and Brother Wigglesworth said, "See that man over there? He was blind, but God's healed him." Still tapping with a cane. And the man came in the next night. Wigglesworth stopped the sermon. Says, "You see that man over there? 2 nights ago, God healed him. He was blind." Guy's still tapping with a cane. The third night, the guy come in again. Wigglesworth said, "See that man that was blind the other night? God healed him." And instantly his sight came back. Instantly he was healed. You understand what I'm saying? You have to hang on to God, and you can't let go. Don't let go. And Wigglesworth, he was a corker. There was an old guy that come up to him one time, and he come up with canes like this, you know. And Mr. Wigglesworth said, Brother Wigglesworth said, "Now, have you been prayed for last last night. Don't come up here again. You see, as far as Wigglesworth's concerned, the Lord heals you. You follow me? In the partition part, the Lord's healed you. So this old guy come up again. One of the men who was helping said, I just didn't have the heart not to let him come up again. And Wigglesworth said, hey, didn't you come up here last night for prayer? And the old guy said, yes, but I didn't get something. Wigglesworth turned around, kicked him in the seat of the pants. He went flying off. One crutch went one way, one crutch went the other, and the people were just ready to kill Brother Wigglesworth, and the man got up perfectly healed. Wigglesworth said, you were healed last night. You were just too dumb to know it. Now, that's the old-fashioned way of believing in God. I wouldn't do that myself. Now, when used for provision, listen, when we get preaching for provision, and somebody asks you, okay, Sister Jones, she needs a new car, and she doesn't have the money, and the Lord's going to have to work a miracle for her to get a car because she needs it. Always when you pray, take a part of Scripture and use it to stand on. My God, Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all my needs according to the riches and glory through Christ Jesus our Lord. Use the word of God. Did you notice when the devil came to tempt Jesus, he said, it is written. And he slapped the devil in the mouth with that and three times, and that's all the devil could take, and he was gone. You know, James said, resist the devil and he'll flee. Well, Jesus knew the scripture. He's the one who wrote it. And so it's the word that we depend on. You know, over in Isaiah, the Bible said, concerning this, the word of God says, command thou me the work of my hands. Now, what does that mean? It means put me in remembrance. Put me in remembrance, command thou me the work of my hands. Use the scripture. Quote the scripture. Quote the scripture. Every time when you pray for somebody, for its healing or for provision, quote the scriptures. Now, one of the jokes on this whole matter was my favorite for provision, my favorite woman is old Sister Muckenvush. And so this is a joke. And one of the guys was praying for her. He said, dear Lord Jesus, you know, Sister Muckenvush is, she's got the hoppus wappus and her head's going to fall off if you don't heal her. And Lord, you know what an old biddy she's been. And you know how much trouble she's caused the Lord. And you, wait a minute, Lord, forget the whole thing. Get rid of her, okay? Now, when we're praying for comfort for a person, sometimes you might be asked publicly, we used to do it a lot of times, you know, Pentecostal church, you'd pray somebody would die and you'd say, now let's pray for comfort. Now, sometimes the person who would die would be a sinner. At least to all our knowledge, he would be a sinner. And we couldn't pray him into heaven because we don't know which way he went. From all appearances, the person was a sinner and died a sinner, enjoyed being a sinner, and he died that way. But when you have to pray for comfort for the family, now here's something you can do. Here's a good prayer that you can pray. Lord, you're a very present help in a time of trouble. And I ask you to be with the family, and I ask you for guidance and help at this time. Lord Jesus, mend their broken hearts, and Lord, by your grace, draw them closer to you that they may find salvation and help in their time of need. See, you haven't addressed where they might have ended up. Because, as I've said this before, the Bible said as a tree falls, let it lay. If it falls this way, it's going to fall that way. That means what you did in life and where you lived in life and what you died in life, you're going to receive in life. We don't know. Again, I'm going to say we don't know if they went to heaven or not. We hope they do. We hope they did. We hope they had brains enough to yell, "Jesus, save me." There's been a lot of people who've got in there by the skin of their teeth. And I'll tell you something, they might not have in heaven, they might not have a real big place in heaven, but boy, it sure do beat going to hell. It beats going to hell by any member. If you're working in the heavenly stables, shoveling manure, it still beats going to hell, I'm telling you. Now, one of the nicest letters, I did a woman's funeral, and her daughter came in. She's a real sweet girl, and I preached on heaven, and because I didn't know where the woman went, but I just was telling, encouraging people to go to heaven and love Jesus and live right. And the nicest letter I ever received came from a daughter of a woman I buried. She said, and it read something like this. She said, "Reverend Wood, when I came into the funeral home, I was in the depth of despair. But after I heard your message, it lifted me out of my despair and gave me hope for tomorrow." So the point I want to make, it's important to know how to pray and minister to people. The public prayer is the hardest one to do when you're a young Christian. Now, let's go to the third part of the prayer, is thanksgiving. We said the first part, we entered into his courts with praise and thanksgiving. The second part was the petition, what we ask him for. Now the third part is we're going to get the answer. Now, this is what gives us the assurance we receive what we ask. What we ask for. John, 1 John, chapter 5, the 14th verse. 1 John, first letter of John, chapter 5, 14. And this is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, how do we know the will of God? How do we know the will of God? How do we? Oh, wow, that's a real tough one. God is so, he's so deep. How can we know his will? Simple. The will of God is the word of God. If he promises us that he's going to provide for all our needs, if he promises he's going to heal us, and if he tells us to pray for the lost, that the Lord of the harvest has sent out laborers to the lost, then we have solid ground how to pray. If that word, I don't understand why people have so much trouble. Well, I don't know if this is God's will. I don't know if it's God's will that I should go out and preach. An old preacher told me one time, said a rooster crows because it's a rooster, and a preacher preaches because he's a preacher. If you got to preach in you, you'll know it. And if you don't have it in you, just teach Bible studies like I do. All right, now, we always thank God for the answer before it comes. That's the trick. That's the ticket in getting your prayers answered. Now, any dummy, me included, can pray for, Lord, heal my hand. And when my hand is healed, oh, Lord, thank you for the healing. Thank you for the healing. That's not faith. Faith says you receive it by faith before you get it. You call it done before it's done, then it happens. Now, I told the class about my daddy. He's a tough old German Pole, I'll tell you. And he said he got the, he worked at a GLF for years, and he got dust in his lungs, emphysema, was it? And the doctor said to my sister, Marilyn, "Well, Mrs. Donahue," and it's very formal, "Well, Mrs. Donahue, your father's lungs are filling up, and he's probably got 6 more months to live." You know how they do? Well, they do that, you know. And my sister said, "Oh no, he's not. No, he's not." And so he's in bed and he can't get out. And she takes Brother Hagin's tapes on healing, and she puts them beside the bed. So he's real smart. He turns them off, right? So she comes in and finds out. He turns them off. She puts them all the way across the room because he can't get out of bed. And he's mad at her. And he says, "You're mean to me." He said, I'm going to get meaner, Dad. I'm going to get meaner. And she put the word into him, and the word got into him day after day after day after day. The word of God got into him. One day I come in to see him. Here he is out of bed, sitting at the table, eating his lunch, reading his Bible. I said, Dad, you're healed. He said, Charlie, he said, son, now I understand this. You got to receive it and believe it before it comes. That makes it come. I said, that's it, Daddy. You're right onto it. You ready for this? He lived 15 more years. He outlived one doctor and came 2 weeks of outliving the other. Yeah. Now, if you looked at Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 4, verses 19 to 21, it talks about Abraham. And it said, Abraham, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, being 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now here's the part, the best part. And being fully persuaded, that what God's promised, he was able to perform, and that got the answer. It took 10 to 14 years before Isaac was born. But you know what? He was born. He gave praise to God before the answer came. You don't get the answer and the answer comes. You pray before, and then you get the answer. It's surprising. Nobody ever told me that, you know? Surprising. Took me sharp as a loaf of bread. 30 years and I got it. 80 years and I got it. Brightest bulb in the chandelier, you know? Sometimes we can hear a scripture over and over and over and over, but it gets here, but it don't get here. Now, what makes the petitions work? Faith, living right, acting on God's word, and being convinced God will do it. If you pray for somebody, I'm going to go through these quickly. If you pray for someone and they have previously decided that they're going to go home to be with Jesus, don't waste your time. Once they make up their mind that they want to go home to be with the Lord, you ain't going to change them. And I'll tell you what, God ain't going to change them, because if he could change everybody's will, he'd get everybody saved and we'd go into the millennium tomorrow. So he's not going to change his will. One woman we prayed for one time, and she was in the... And we prayed the prayer of faith. And finally, then I found out the Lord gave her a vision, and she's getting ready to go home to be with Jesus. She saw Jesus walking up and down the halls of the hospital, walking up and down. I thought, oh, man, we're wasting our breath. He was coming to get her. And you know what? He got her, too. He come and got her and took her to be home with him. Now, remember one thing. Brother Kenneth Hagin prayed for his sister with cancer. And then the Lord told him, you tell her, she's got 5 years to learn to stand on her own faith. Nobody's going to pray her out of it. And you know what? She didn't learn. And 5 years later, all the praying he did didn't do a thing. The Lord took her home to be with him. Now, my mama told me this, and I'm going to pass this on to you. She said to me, Sonny, every time I got that Sonny treatment, I knew I was in trouble. Sonny, there's going to be a day when I'm with Jesus. There's going to be a day when all the preachers and everybody are gone and you're alone. And there's going to be a day your back is against the wall. You better learn to pray yourself. Now, here's the thing. When you are praying and you want to receive, you start thanking God for the answer and praising him. Remember I said we praise him in the beginning and we praise him for the answer. The devil hates praise. When your back is against the wall, ladies, if you're alone, go in a quiet part of the house and start praising God and have a praising fit. I'm telling you what, you're going to turn around, the devil's going to be gone, because he hates praise and he throws his best shot against him, and you throw the word of God and praise at him, and what happens? He backs off. He ain't got no power. He's got no power against the word of God, no power against God's praise. You remember when Paul and Silas was in the jail, and their stocks were in feet are in stocks and they got their backs are beaten and they're hurting. And it's in the midnight hour. And what happened? Paul and Silas prayed and gave praise, and the prisoners heard him. What happened? Thunderbolt of God's power hit that old jail man, and it shook the thing, shook the doors open, shook the stocks off him, shook the chains off him, and the jailer went in and said, What must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, you and your family. And he took them that very, and Paul and Silas took them, and they baptized them that very night. He washed their wounds. He took them home. He set food between them, before them. And what happened? It was because of praise and thanksgiving. You know what? Here's a little added thought on this. You know, Paul was a Roman citizen of Rome. And Roman citizens had the law of Rome behind them. You did not lock up a Roman citizen and beat him without a trial. These magistrates found the next day that Paul was a Roman citizen. And they said, well, live and go in peace, brother. Go in peace, go in peace. And Paul said, you tell these clowns to come and they threw us in jail and they beat us up. You come and tell them and they'll lead us out by themselves. And they went, oh, Mr. Paul, we're sorry, we leaked. All Paul would have had to do was to say, I appeal to Caesar. And you know what would have happened? Those guys would have got a free trip in Roman galleries. They'd had a free trip. They could have seen all the Mediterranean chained to an oar. And Paul left like that, and he left that situation that was, because if word come back to him that he had trouble, the Christians were having trouble, he could say to those magistrates, you want a free cruise on a Roman ship? And Paul was a smart guy. But you understand, not only was he smart, he knew how to praise God. He knew how to praise himself out of a situation. He knew how to trust God. You know, I got so much more, but I'm just going to catch up. There was a man, and I'm going to close with this.
Yep.
There was a man, Brother Brown, my former pastor, who's going to be with Jesus, told me a story about a man who had a big growth on his cheek, cancerous growth. And he'd get up every Sunday morning and say, Lord, and he'd tell the church, he said, I've been prayed for and this cancer is healed. And he'd do it Sunday after Sunday, and the cancer got worse. And the deacons were saying, you know, we better get him to be quiet, you know. And just, you know, this is bad for us, you know. It's bad for the Lord because he's not healed, you know. And one morning the man was shaving, and he looked at that terrible purple cancerous growth. And he said, Lord Jesus, I know I'm healed. You know I'm healed. But let this cancer drop off so the people in the church will know I'm healed. And the thing dropped right off his face, and it was clear as a bell, clear as a baby's skin, and dropped right into the wash basin. Now you see, when you make your decision and your petition that you're going to have it, come hell or high water, if you have to face all the devils in hell and the devil himself, that Jesus promised it and said in his word, by my stripes ye were healed, and will stand with it and act on it, you're going to get what you asked for. Amen? Brad, you want to wind this up?
Give Chuck a round of applause. Give him a round of applause. Give Jesus a round of applause.
Yeah, give the Lord.
Here, give the Lord a praise. Linda, come on up here. Chuck. If you need anything tonight, let these two faithful servants pray for you. Anything. Sometimes it's hard for us to speak over our lives. And if you're struggling with speaking something over your life, connect with these two. Let them pray for you. Let them believe it. Let them speak the word of God over your life. Have a great night. Thank you for coming to Life Night. Good night, everyone.